Today is the first Sunday of the month, and because of our theme for the year being the year of the family, we've dedicated each first Sunday in months when we do not have the special days to be Sundays where emphasis is placed upon the family. Because Father's Day is in the month of June, I have chosen to think this morning about men and about fathers. You may have noticed in the song that we were just singing, the second verse said, "Christian homes where the father is true and strong." That's the kind of men that we need in our families today. It's the kind of men that all of us need to be in order to lead our families in the right direction, to serve and worship God in the way that we should. A great deal of emphasis is being placed upon the father in the home, even in our time, in marches that are taking place and gatherings that are happening. Many of you have heard about the program that's called Promise Keepers. Although I cannot participate in that because of some of the suggestions that are made and the principles guiding it, I believe that the idea of promoting better fathers and better husbands is certainly a good concept. You remember not long ago there was the Million Man March on Washington. We might question whether or not there were a million present, and certainly we would question some of the things that were suggested by some of the leaders. But the idea of getting our men more involved in our families is a wonderful idea and one that needs to be promoted even in our work. I have had it said to me more than once that we tend to talk about the mothers in May and forget the fathers in June. I suppose one of the reasons for that is that when we talk about a lesson dealing with mothers, we realize that it applies to parents in general. And maybe we've not tended to follow in the month of June with a lesson on fathers. But I want us to think about fathers for a few minutes. The passage that Darrell read a few minutes ago, he read the statement, "Who can find a trustworthy man?" Another version says, "A faithful man, who can find?" You may remember that before giving the description of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, the question is asked, who can find a virtuous woman? And some have thought that the way that question is asked, that it was intended to suggest that they may not be as plentiful as we would like. If that's the case, then also in this passage, in Proverbs 20, that may be there, that faithful men may not be as plentiful as we would like. Who can find a faithful man? For our study this morning, I'd like to just remove that word man and put the word father in and concentrate especially on being fathers. Who can find a faithful father? I'm convinced that many of our problems that we face in the world today would be solved if we had more faithful fathers. Much of the illegitimacy that we have in our nation and much of the welfare program that is here is caused, in my opinion, because of men who involve themselves in activities that are not right, that result many times in the conception and birth of a child, and then they just go their way. Sometimes maybe not even realizing that they have fathered a child, and other times neglecting the responsibility that is there. Again, I say, in my opinion, many of the problems that we have facing the family today are brought about because we do not have as many men as we ought to have who will accept their responsibilities and be faithful as fathers. There's no way that we can overemphasize the importance of a mother. And there is something special about the mother. But we need to emphasize the importance of the father also in the proper place and with the proper relationships that have been God-given according to the pattern for the family. The lesson this morning is just about as simple as it can be, but I think it is profound because of the points that we're talking about. I want to suggest to you five things this morning that are needed in order to have a faithful father. First, a father is faithful if he is faithful in providing the physical needs of his children. All of us are aware, I'm sure, that in many instances in the times in which we live, it is extremely difficult for a father to take care of all the responsibilities financially, especially with a younger family. Because of that, there may be the need for the mother working outside the home. But even when that is the case, it is still the responsibility of the father to take the lead. It is on the father, we believe, that the responsibility has been placed for taking care of the physical needs of the children. Parents are to lay up for the children, not the children for the parents, 2 Corinthians 12:14. And although it is not specifically talking about a father-child relationship, 1 Timothy 5:8 gives us the principle that one who will not provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Almost every week we hear something said about those fathers who have neglected their families, who have forsaken them. And even new laws have been passed in recent years to try to force fathers to take care of their responsibilities of the physical needs of their children. That ought to just be understood. And that is a great responsibility. It has been suggested that from the time a child's life begins until that child reaches adulthood, that it costs somewhere between $80,000 and $120,000. A person must have had that in mind when he said, you can tell if a person's a father, he's the one who has the billfold without any money and plenty of pictures. But you know, when we start feeling sorry for ourselves as fathers, just stop and think that there are some people today who have no responsibilities because they have no children. I would imagine that the family that's burying the little two-month-old child, I guess it's today here in our area, will understand that in reality in the days ahead. We do not count our blessings as much as we ought in our family circles, and we do not accept our responsibilities many times like we ought. If we're going to be faithful men, that means a faithful father is one who will provide for the physical needs of his children. But a second point, and I think even more important than the first, is that a man who is faithful as a father is one who's going to provide the spiritual needs for his children. Somewhere we got the idea, at least I've heard it expressed, that the father's to take care of the physical needs and the mother's to take care of the spiritual needs. Perhaps that grew out of the idea that the mother usually is with a younger child more, but even with that being the case, it is still the responsibility of the father to take the lead in the training of the children. When the admonition is given, or really the teaching and the commandment is given in Ephesians 6:4, to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not provoke them, do you realize that it's the father who is specifically addressed? Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again in Colossians 3:21, ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I would assume that all of us understand that both parents are involved, and I do not think that God intended to mention the father there to the exclusion of the mother, but rather that he was emphasizing that it is the father who is to take the lead. And there's ample teaching again and again in the Bible to show that the father is the head of the family. The husband is the head of the family, not in the boss situation, but in the leadership capacity. And that involves spiritual teaching and spiritual training. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice the phrase of the Lord, not just bring them up. Not just bring them up in nurture and admonition, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up spiritually as they should be brought. Joshua could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Joshua 24:15. I especially like what's said about Abraham in Genesis 18:19. God says, I know that Abraham will command his children, or teach his children, in such a way that they will know and keep the commandments of God. He had faith in Abraham that he would take the lead in his family in the spiritual needs and see that his children were taught the things that they needed to be taught. How many sons and daughters today can make the statement, "I've never seen my father reading from the Word of God"? How many of them could say, "I've never heard my father pray"? How many of them today could say, "My dad did not go to Bible classes this morning"? What are we doing as fathers to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? God has placed that responsibility specifically with us. And there's where the answer to many questions and the solution to many problems will be found. But some of these passages that we've been discussing suggest a third idea, and that is that a faithful father is one who will faithfully discipline his children. And yes, I believe that it is the father that needs to take the lead in that. How many times has a father, when there's a problem, just sort of turned his head and left and said, "Well, let mother take care of it"? On the other side, mothers should not have the attitude that we wait till father gets home to take care of everything. Both parents have a responsibility, agreed. But it is the father who is specifically enjoined again, I would point out to you, to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that word nurture means chastisement. It's the same word that's translated chastisement or chastening in Hebrews 12. Further translated instruction as instruction in righteousness in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Who has that responsibility? Specifically, it is given to the fathers. It's not uncommon to hear the subject of discipline being discussed today, even as we think about our schools, our courts, all areas of life. Could it be that one of the reasons we're having so much trouble with discipline in our schools and in our courts and in all areas of life is because of negligent fathers? Fathers who have not accepted the God-given responsibility to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? It's interesting to take the book of Proverbs and just start reading through it, beginning in about the third chapter. And notice how many times something is said about the rod or the chastening of a child or the punishment of a child. And the context will show that he's certainly not talking about child abuse. But the wise man, as he talked to his son about so many things that were important in life again and again and again, indicated that the father is to take the lead in using the right kind of discipline with his children. In that 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 7 points out specifically that a father doesn't love his son if he will not discipline him. Many of the problems that exist today in the lives of younger people may very well be because we haven't had enough fathers who really, really love their children enough to discipline them in the right way. And as I mentioned that discipline in the right way, it brings on the thought of another point. And that is that fathers need to be faithful in understanding their children. The same verse that says, "Provoke not your children to anger," goes ahead and says, "Lest they be discouraged." And if you put that verse again with the one in Ephesians 6:4, "Provoke not your children to wrath," it suggests that there has to be the right kind of reason, common sense, involved in the father-child relationship. In some instances, we may be, as the first part of Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, almost willing to brag about ourselves. And it seems common for men to have that approach of, "Look how macho I am and how big I am, and I don't need other things." And in some instances, out of that grows the attitude that we just tell everybody else what to do and that's it. I think if you'll really look at these verses that we're talking about today, you'll see that there needs to be communication involved in every direction. I'm not for sure that it is possible for a father to make the right kind of decision about most anything until he does a little bit of listening to the facts involved and to the feelings involved on the part of others, and that applies to the children as well. Yes, we need to emphasize to our younger people that they are to appreciate their parents and to respect their parents and to honor and obey them. But the same passage that says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," is the one that says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And that's the companion passage to the one that says, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Better decisions could be made even by the leader in the family if that leader tries to understand everybody in the family. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to understand where each one's coming from, what he's saying, what his feelings are. But a good, faithful father in the family is going to try to determine what the whole situation is and listen to and try to understand the needs and the thinking process and the feelings of each child, and then take the leadership in seeing that the proper decision is made. A faithful father is one who's going to be understanding. Now think about the 4 points that we've made so far. Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful father? A faithful father is one who's going to provide for his children physically. He's going to provide for them spiritually. He's going to provide the right kind of discipline, balanced discipline. And he's going to provide the right kind of understanding to where they feel comfortable to come to him and talk to him and know that he cares. And I suggest to you that all of these are summed up in the 5th point. We need faithful men as faithful fathers who will set the right kind of example. And I don't think there's anything else that's more important than this. There's not a preacher alive today that can stand in this pulpit or anywhere else and successfully offset a bad example of a parent to his child. There is no sermon that can be preached here or anywhere else that is as important as the sermon that your son or daughter sees in you. Look at all the examples that we have in the Bible where we see this. And even the principle is there, though talking about the mother-daughter in Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And that same principle would say, as is the father, so is the son. How can we expect our children to believe in truth and honesty if they do not see that in their fathers? I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but after saying in verse 6 there, who can find a faithful man, he went ahead in the next verse and talked about integrity. And then after talking about integrity, he said his children are blessed. It's not easy for the children to be blessed and to have the things that they need if they do not have fathers who are fathers of integrity. A father cannot brag about cheating and lying and then expect his son or daughter to stand up for the right things. A father cannot have a lack of respect for his own body and his own mind and have actions that would harm his body and his mind and then expect his child to go in the other direction. And it is difficult for a child to grow up without seeing love of the father for the mother and appreciation for the sanctity of that relationship and then have the right kind of relationship in his own family. I do not buy the idea that every mistake that's made by a youngster today is because of something that happened back in previous years of his life. I think we blame too many things on that and do not emphasize personal responsibility, but I do recognize very clearly that the influence of a father and a mother, today we're emphasizing the father, can be either for good or bad, and it is extremely difficult for a young person to overcome that bad example. Fathers, if our children can see us put God first, have the right attitude toward things of this world and put them in proper focus, and they see us acting in such a way that they know that integrity is there no matter what, a child that has a dad who is a man of his word and he can be trusted to do what he says and he can be trusted to uphold the principles of sanctity and purity relative to his own body and his relationship to his wife and his family, there just isn't anything that's any more important than that. And that's the reason that so much is being said about fathers today in our country. People are coming to realize what God has taught all along, that we need that father figure, that father image, that father accepting his responsibility in every family if it is at all possible. Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful father? We need fathers that will provide for their children physically and spiritually, discipline, who will try to understand their children and lead them in the right way, and who above everything else will set the right kind of example. And let me tell you something. There isn't anything that you as a father can do that is any better than being a Christian. There isn't anything on this earth that will help you to be a better father and carry out these responsibilities that we've talked about any more than being a child of God. Sometimes parents will say, oh, I'd do anything for my child. I'd cut off my right arm for my child. I'd give my life for my child. And if I know myself, I think I would give my life for a child of mine. But that's not really what your child needs you to do. There's not a child living who needs his father to cut off his right arm for him. When you start saying, I'd do anything for my child, let me ask you something. Will you live a Christian life? Will you set the example? That's where it is. That's what's important. And I would appeal not only to all today, but especially to those that are fathers. If you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized into Christ today. If you're not a faithful Christian and it's something that needs to be taken care of publicly, you need to do that today. We need fathers who are true and strong. And the only place to have that truth and that strength is in God. If you're not a Christian today, come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
Man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I seem.